This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
So today's big idea, main theme of the message, we don't have a title today, is hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. And I got a first class lesson in hearing and doing this last week. Some of you know I was away this last week at like a Anglican pastor's adventure retreat thing in Colorado, and hearing and doing was key. You know, so when I said yes to this deal, I knew about like the rock climbing part of it and the whitewater rafting part of it, but I did not really realize until just days before I left that I was gonna be like backpacking, like camping up 40-pound packs up the side of this mountain and staying there, up there, for 5 days before coming back down to all the comforts of my life. And there was a lot of instruction when we left, when we set out. We slept on the ground. We purified our own water. We ate from a little camp stove and lots of other unpleasantries. And it was very... It was very difficult for me. What you don't, you know, like living in that way, you're actually much closer to real danger than I am in my normal insulated life, you know? For one, I had to wear a whistle around my neck at all times because there was a high likelihood that at some point I would need rescuing from something, at which point I should blow the whistle and they would come and get me and save me, you know? But in those kind of situations, you better be good at hearing and doing. So, like, for instance, we had to purify our own water every single day. And so, like, you better hear and do that part right, you know? Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. There was a bear protocol that we had to go through about all the things that we could keep in our tent and not keep in our tent, and including, I didn't know, toothpaste is an attractive thing to bears, so I got rid of that after the first night, but that's okay, no bear attacks. And even the rafting trip, we received tons of, like, we got this huge lecture about how to conduct ourselves in the raft, and that's a good reason to do that, actually, because the Arkansas River where we rafted is like it's high water right now. Actually, like, I don't know, like 14 people have died on that river this year. It's like serious business, you know? And so they tell you all about what to do, and you're supposed to like lock your feet in. You kind of dig your feet into the raft to keep yourself like locked in. And one of our guys was better at hearing than he was at doing, you know? And so he's fine, but we did come across this like class 4 rapids at one point, and he was in the boat in front of me, and it just like pitched him out in a second, like a rag doll. He just like, the boat just tipped and he went gone, you know? And he's fine, but all the boats went into like emergency mode. It was very like serious for a few minutes, you know? And I was just reminded about this idea of hearing and doing. How important heeding real, important, significant instruction, listening to it and following it is. By the way, thank you I was gone last Sunday. Jay, my man, killed it last week. I listened to his sermon. Thank you, Jay. And thank you to, yeah, okay, all right. And thank you to all of you for grace in my absence. I appreciated the time to be away, kind of. And I'm so grateful. You have no idea how grateful I am to be home. So I missed you guys. So today we're starting a new sermon series on the book of James. We actually studied James last summer. You probably don't remember, but that's all right. And we're going to pick it up this summer. James, you might remember, is the brother of Jesus, the author of this book, and he was one of the people that Jesus appeared to personally after the resurrection. He was a key leader of the church in Jerusalem, a friend of both Peter and Paul, and he writes this letter to teach us how to be like real, serious, committed followers mature followers of Jesus. So in the coming weeks, we're going to just like work through his book slowly. And we're going to hear about things that he has to say about faith and works and wisdom and humbling ourselves and praying in faith. And we just finished this series on Romans 8 last week. And I like actually this juxtaposition. Romans 8, if you've been with us the last several weeks, is kind of a 50,000 foot, like, beautiful theology book that has real practical implications, but it's like a theology book. And James is like hyper practical, you know? And so if you're the kind of person, I'm like this a lot of my life, like that cares a lot about like the nitty gritty of life, then I think you'll enjoy this series. This is the stuff of our daily lives. And today we start with this topic, hearing and doing what God says, what God asks, what God wants. So we're going to do that under four headings today. What does James, the writer, what does James want for us? Spoiler alert, it's hearing and doing. Two, why are we bad at it? Three, why should we do it? Like, what advantage is there to it? And four, what do we need in order to be hearers and doers? So, what does James want? Why are we bad at it? Why should we do it? And what do we need in order to do it? So, James wants us to be hearers and doers. It's the theme of the entire passage, but it comes across most clearly in this verse. Verse 22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves, do what it says." He couldn't be more clear there, I think. But more broadly in this passage, if you were to reread the entire passage, you would see that James paints two different paths. Like, he gives two examples of lives lived. One of virtue and morality and wholeness, and one marked by brokenness and sin. And so these are some of the examples. I just pulled some of the examples. Can I get those bullet points? These are some of the examples of the virtues, the life of virtue that he outlines. And so he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He goes on a few verses later to say, this kind of person is the kind of person that keeps a tight rein on their tongue. So it's these like kind of internal virtues. But he doesn't stop there. He even goes so far as to say, this kind of life also includes like an external, like a fight for righteousness and justice. He says, these people look after orphans and widows in their distress. This is the kind of hearing and doing that James wants for us. And then he kind of juxtaposes that in this passage with a different kind of life. And he gives a few examples of that. And it's a far less attractive kind of life to live. And he says that life is marked by moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. He even gives kind of opposites of the things that he talked about in the virtuous life and says like these kind of people have like a loose tongue, and that if you aren't hearers and doers, that you are in danger of being polluted by the world. So what James is imploring us to do here is to listen intently to the word of God and then put it into practice in our lives. He wants us to be obedient to God, to follow him, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, in our lives, lived out in our actual lives. Now, lest you think that that is like just some great idea that James had, I want to point us back to the gospel reading that I read just a minute ago, a passage familiar to many of you, a teaching of Jesus, again, about two paths, one person who built their house on rock and one person who built their house on sand. And when the rains came and the waters rose and the storms, the wind beat against the house, one house stayed rock solid and the other house fell. But did you catch the explanation of the parable that Jesus himself gave? He puts it this way. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, that's the man who built his house on the rock. And then the person who built their house on sand is everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Hearing, not just believing, but hearing and doing was a message of Jesus. Hearing and putting those things into practice is what enables your house to stay strong when a storm comes. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, like, well, but Dean, isn't it mostly about, like, the faith in my heart? You know, like, isn't that what enables my house to stay firm when the storms come? And I would say, well, that's part of it, but I'm not making this up. This is Jesus talking. He's the one that said, yes, it's about faith, but it's more than that. It's a life built on my teachings. It's following me. It's putting these things into practice. God has outlined a path of life for us. He wants us to hear it, but he also wants us to do it. That is what James is advocating for and endorsing. Be hearers and doers of God's word. If you want to survive life's toughest storms, yes, absolutely, you are going to need faith in Jesus, but you'll also need a life built on his grace and teachings. And if you want to be the kind of virtuous person that James outlines in his reading, then don't just believe the right thing in your head. Put it into practice in your life. Be hearers and doers. That's what James wants for us. So what keeps us from being hearers and doers? A lot of things, probably. I'm just going to outline a couple. One is that we are not particularly good hearers. We're not great at hearing. Forget doing for a second. We're not great at hearing. Verse 22 says, it's that verse that I showed earlier. It says, do not merely listen to the word. But let's not skate past that so quickly. It's that the assumption is that we're going to do that. Actually listen to the word. That's the starting place. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the word of God in the Bible. You know, we're kind of, I know this is a cultural generalization, but like we're not, as a culture, super great at listening to one another. You know, we're better at talking than we are at listening. How much more then is it really difficult for us to listen to God, to really listen to him, to hear him? The easiest way to listen to God, and by the way, it's not that easy, but the easiest way to listen to God is to engage in regular reading of Scripture. That's the best way. And I want to say, like, reading the Bible isn't always something that you walk away from, like, wow, that was so great today. You know, like, it doesn't always feel that way. But there is nothing that has made a bigger difference in my life in terms of, like, getting myself in tune with God's word and his word for me and his word for the world. Like, there's nothing that has done that better for me than, like, a consistent pattern of reading the Bible. I know that's difficult. Like, I'm a priest, and I have a full life, and it's hard for me to do that sometimes, but I just endorse it fully to you. That's the best way that you're going to become a real hearer and a listener of God's word. You know, we use these, I pulled these this weekend. We have these, like, scripture reading plans. I actually put a stack of them on the glass table out there. Like, I want to give you no excuses today. You know, if you're like, I don't know where to start, you know, like, this is where you start. Just grab this card. There's nothing magic about this. It's just something, someplace to start. But I do want to say, like, if you're not already doing it, I just encourage you, be a hearer of God's word by consistently engaging with the Bible. Listen to the word. Read the Bible. But I want to say one other thing, actually still related to hearing. And I actually like the word listening. I almost wish I would have used the word listening for the sermon title or whatever. Listening is a more, like, engaging term, isn't it? You know, like, hearing is kind of passive, you know, but to listen is, like, an active thing. And for me, it has this it has this connotation of like buy-in, you know? Like when you really listen to someone, it's an active thing. Where I'm going with this is that I think sometimes we struggle, even when we hear God's word, to like listen to it, to believe it. And I'm saying even the moral parts, you know, so like when we read James's description of like a moral life, as you know, he says, be slow to anger, quick to listen. And you're like, James, do you know me? Like, I don't know. That feels like a far cry from my life, you know? Like, don't be angry, he says. And you're like, I just don't know if I believe that that's like a real reality for me in my life. Does that make sense? Don't just be a hearer of God's word. Be a listener and a believer. Believe that the life that James describes is a possibility for you. That the life that the follower of Jesus is offered is possible for you. Listen. Be a listener. Be a hearer. Have an imagination for your life that allows you to succeed at the life that Jesus has for you. Okay, there are a lot more reasons why we're bad at this, but I'm going to go to the next question. Why should we be hearers and doers? What advantage is there to us? There's this interesting attitude. Like if you engage with the Bible very often, especially in the book of Psalms, if you ever read the book of Psalms, you might notice something that I find particularly jarring. Over and over again in the book of Psalms, there's this attitude. You see these lines, these verses, these songs that say, in your law, O Lord, do I delight. Your law, Lord, is my, I am in love, Lord, with your law. Oh, that's Psalm 119. But Psalm 1 puts it this way. Is this Psalm 1? Good. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Isn't that a little bit odd, the way that the psalmist sings these songs about God's law? He loves God's law. Isn't a law by nature kind of restrictive and oppressive? But the psalmist sings about it like it's in love with the law. It's really different for us. But Jesus is saying, I know I'm kind of mixing metaphors here, but Jesus' metaphor is about the storms and the house. And this psalmist is saying it's the way of following God is like a tree that yields fruit in season. And even when drought comes, never withers. Why should we be hearers and doers of God's will? This is my point. I'm not making it great. This is the point. Because it's good for us. It's actually great for us. We might find ourselves singing the way that the psalmist does. Wow, your word, Lord, the way of living that you have prescribed, wow, Lord, I love it. It's such a blessing to me. It enables my house not to fall down when the storms come. It enables me to bear fruit like a tree and to never wither. To follow the path of God, to be a hearer and doer, is a way of life and joy. To live righteously, don't get me wrong, doesn't cause God to love you any more than he currently does. However, to be a doer of God's word means life and joy and peace in the life that you live now. You know, on the mountain last week, if I had violated the word, you know, the instruction, I would have been in trouble. I basically, by the way, I like pumped everybody's water every day. It was just something monotonous to do to like engage my mind so I didn't run screaming down the mountain. But, there was like this complicated regimen of like pumping through the filter or using iodine drops or whatever. And if I had violated the word, the instruction, it would have been a far less fun trip for everyone, right? There's like real danger at stake. But it doesn't just So I say that to say, like, following God's law keeps us out of danger in our lives. It keeps us safe, but it's even more than that. It's not just like keeps us out of the gutter. I love this metaphor. I'm doing a lot of metaphors today, so get ready. This metaphor that Nikki Gumbel uses, who's the he invented the Alpha Course, and he talks about following God's law is like a soccer game. And he says, in a good soccer game, you need to have a set of agreed upon rules. Everyone has the most fun in a soccer game if everyone is playing according to the rules. If somebody in the middle of the match picks up the ball and starts running down the field carrying it, it ruins the game for everyone. But the most amount of joy for the players and for the spectators is when everyone is like following the rules, is living the word. So too, for us now to experience real joy in life, real peace and safety, is to walk in step with God's word, his law. You know, sorry, James uses one more metaphor. He says it this way, verse 23. Can I get that, Rex? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently to the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Leave that up, Rex, just for a second. I want to call your attention to like the middle line there. It says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that what? Gives freedom. Following the word of God actually gives us freedom. It may feel like constricting sometimes. It may feel sometimes like it's like against all of our natural instincts. But the truth is that it actually gives us a freedom. And you know, if you kind of jump down a couple lines, they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed. Why should we be hearers and doers? Because it makes for the most joy-filled, anchored, blessed life that we can experience. Doesn't mean that there won't be storms, but when there are, your house will stand. It doesn't mean that there won't be droughts, but when there are, your leaves will not wither. Be hearers and doers of God's will. Last point. How do we do it? What should we do? What do we need? Two things. And I want to say something that most of the time pastors don't like saying, myself included, and for good reason, because it sometimes can give the wrong message, but I'm going to say it today. If you want to be a hearer and doer of God's will, don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to try. Like, to strive, to like really exert yourself in that work, you know? I know a lot of you. I know how hard you work. I know how disciplined some of you are. I know how seriously you take certain parts of your life. I know how good of boundaries so many of you have. What I'm suggesting is that you take some of that drive and ambition that you have in your life and channel that into following the path of God. Follow the word of God. Now, the reason why pastors don't like saying that is because it obviously so quickly can go into like legalism where you're like, feel like you're earning something from God, that's rubbish. It's not, you know, don't do that. Like, you can't earn anything from God, don't do that. But don't be afraid to try either, to exert yourself, to strive. I like this verse from Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give in to doing good. Like, keep trying. Keep striving. Follow God's word and his will. Don't grow weary. But the second thing that we need, if we're going to follow God's will, is that we need to recognize that our striving isn't on our own, of course. Our striving isn't on our own. in James's little passage here, he gives us this great little line in verse 18, and he reminds us that all of our hearing and doing is built upon and sustained by and initiated by God's work in our lives. He does it a bit subtly, but he uses this language. He says that he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Now, birth, I know, is another metaphor, but it reminds us that our striving isn't enough. If we are we're the kids in the metaphor. And in birth, the kids don't do a lot of striving, you know? The moms do a lot of striving, but the kids are just born. We're the kids. God has given us the gift of new birth. And birth in the New Testament also is this powerful image of what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He gives us a new life. Meaning, yes, we strive, but striving is only good so far as it is empowered by and initiated by and sustained by the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Rely on him so you can strive, but know that it's the Holy Spirit that's working in you and through you. Rely on him. Jesus has done the striving for us. Lean on the Holy Spirit. He will help you to be a hearer and doer. Amen.